Cortana, select music.
Playing Palette Swap Ninja.
Oh, well imagine, as I'm waiting online to play more Gears of War, and I can't help but to hear, no, I can't help but to hear an exchange between nerds. What a boost achievement! What a boost achievement! Says a briefer to a whiner.
And yes, but what a shame! What a shame! The guy's such an achievement whore.
I chime in with, haven't you people ever heard of padding your gamer score? No, it's much better to play your console game with a hardcore cynical mentality.
I chime in, haven't you people ever heard of padding your gamer score? No.
Hello, nurse. Geezer Gamers Community Cast, episode number 203. We're live with Wednesday, February 11th, 2015. I'm your host, Cyber Knight. If you're listening live, we got a little bit of a late start. Seems that Blog Talk Radio decided to wipe out my show schedule, so I logged in a little bit closer to time than I expected. You know, I guess if I had logged in more ahead of time, I could have had it fixed by the time show started, but what could possibly go wrong? Why would I need to be so forward-thinking? Yeah, apparently. The schedule got wiped out, so I had to create an episode quick, and here we are. So I'm going to get started with what I've been playing. So I did play a little bit of the free game with gold this month called iDarb. I was kind of looking forward to this one because it supports a lot of co-op play on a single console, and it seems to be difficult to find games anymore that I can play with my boys. They just, you know, couch co-op, split screen, just doesn't seem to be a priority for a lot of games. Especially for multiple players. You know, that's one of the reasons why I like the Lego games and Skylanders, is I can always play it with one of my boys, but still, those are only two-player co-op. And, you know, this one supposedly supports up to 8 people on the same console. I haven't played it with my boys yet, and to be honest, I'm a little nervous about doing so because it is so chaotic. And if there's one thing that I don't need more of in my life with 4 boys in the house, is more chaos. So that's, I don't know when I'm going to brave playing this with my kids, but I can imagine it's going to be quite chaotic. I played some with Major Wedgie, and we had a bit of fun with it. It's you know, supposedly you can have it tie into Twitter or Twitch, and it people can post things on Twitter, and it will change your gameplay. Or you can even set it up so that it'll just randomly cycle through. And to be honest, it is really annoying. I think some of the things that it can do are just make the game annoying to play. I guess it's all part of the chaos, but still, it's maybe it's just me getting old and not wanting to do all this, having information overload. I don't know what it is, but anyway, I've also played a little bit of Halo. I've been trying to get another boosting session going. I did try one a while ago just to get some of those darn grindy achievements. There is a way to get a party together in matchmaking, so you can start boosting some of those really obnoxious medals. And everybody that I've met, and of course, yeah, I'm meeting the people who also want to boost them, so it's probably a result of that sample set. But everybody I've talked to and met about this are just really annoyed with these achievements. That's, you know, 100 legendary medals, 200 some assists, or is this assists is 2,000, I think. It's just ridiculous. It's and we'd be okay with it if it was just, you know, like 10 or 20. because that would be relatively doable, and especially if you're not a great player such as myself. I don't say that to be modest at all. I really am not that good. And, you know, the legendary medals, I had 7 of them, and it actually only counted me for 2 towards the achievement, which was also kind of annoying. But the only ones I had were the Staketacular, which means your team won by like 25 or 30 points, whatever it is. And of course, the only reason I got those is because I was matched up with great players against not so great players. It was completely not under my control. It was just completely random. And, you know, there's just no way that I could get that. A lot of these achievements are just really obnoxious. And, I mean, I don't know. But in any case, trying to get another one of those sessions going. I had one scheduled for last night, but the other guy didn't show up, which actually might not have been a bad thing because my kids had gotten sick. And I ended up catching it and was not feeling good. So I stayed home from work today and actually got a chance to play a little bit of Halo today when I was mostly conscious and just do a little bit of achievement hunting, you know, getting skulls and terminals and, you know, those little hunt and find achievements that you end up just taking a walk through anyway to find them and, you know, just getting some of those little ones out of the way. But, and then I kind of lost consciousness on the couch for a few hours, but I'm feeling much better now. Also played some Assassin's Creed Unity, and it's still as much fun as I remember it and like going back to it, but it just doesn't have as much of the draw. Maybe it's because I've played 1, 2, Brotherhood, Revelations 3 and 4, and I don't know, maybe I'm getting kind of burned out on it. I've also been playing on Windows 8. There is the Assassin's Creed Pirates game, which basically kind of takes place in the Assassin's Creed 4 timeframe, but it's mostly the pirate ship sailing. So, and that's a nice little diversion. I like that I can play it on my tablet and just play it anywhere around the house whenever I want. But It's kind of annoying in and of itself. There are a lot of the missions are timed where, you know, you have to do something within a certain time or you have to, mostly it's destroy other ships. And sometimes it's, sail through a race course, but there's also sail to a couple of checkpoints and you'll end up having to fight a ship on the way. The reason it gets annoying is when you're fighting in the ship battles, there are 2 basic attacks that your opponent can do back to you. One of them is, it kind of zooms out to a wide angle shot and the enemy ship makes a shot and you have to dodge left or right to evade the cannon fire. And the other one is kind of like a Fruit Ninja style where it'll shoot cannonballs and fire barrels at you and you have to swipe the cannonballs or tap the fire barrels to destroy them before they hit you. The reason it gets really annoying is, well, twofold. One is, your weapons have to recharge after you fire them. You have to reload your cannons. When the enemy is attacking, it doesn't count that time as reloading your cannons. So, it's completely dead time that you can't do anything and has no advantage to you whatsoever. The other hugely annoying thing is you can't fire back. The wide angle shot, if you do 5 successful dodges, you can counterattack with what it calls a breaking shot, which stops their attack, which is a nice thing to have. But you have no control if that happens or not. If it's doing the Fruit Ninja thing, it is always a good 30 seconds before you get control back and can fire. And, you know, again, it's going to take time for your weapons to recharge anyway. So, you know, mandatory 30 seconds off the clock as you're sitting there trying to do something within a time frame is really frustrating and annoying. But I'm hoping that maybe I unlock some better ships that'll help. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see on that. It's not a bad little diversion though. Yeah, I mean it's something I can play on my tablet that's a little more involved than say the free puzzle games or you know, Sudoku or the other little things. So and there is that going for me. News topics for this week. Just got a couple of them. Not too much to talk about this time around. The XBone February system update has started rolling out for public release. You should be able to get that now. There's the features that you can pick up on that. There is a controller update, which will require plugging in the controller with a USB cord, which you know uses a standard micro USB. So chances are, if you can't find the one that came with the controller, there's one sitting around in your house somewhere, I'm sure. It does update the controller, so it does connect a whole lot faster to the console, which I found really nice for watching Netflix. Actually, because you know, as you're sitting there watching the show, and it gets to the end of a show, you know, it queues up the next thing it thinks you want to watch. And sometimes it's the next episode in the series. Sometimes it picks a completely different series and says, "Okay, we want you to watch this now." And you know, you have a limited time to. You know, and if the kids are being noisy, the Kinect can't focus in on me. So trying to say Xbox stop is not working. So I have to grab a controller fast. And, you know, of course, the controller turns itself off as I'm watching it because it's just laying there. And the auto off is a nice feature to conserve battery power. But to turn it on, it used to be you know, 4 or 5 second wait for that to come on. And now it's connected within two. And it's really nice. So really appreciate that. I have had it disconnect from the console on occasion. I haven't really gauged how often that happens, so I can't say it's better or worse than before. I want to say it seems better, but even after this update, it has disconnected while playing Halo, so it's not perfect, but that kind of goes without saying on this console. Other things that are new to the console are the game hubs, where you can basically anywhere you see a game's tile, where you're on the main screen or on the pins or over in the store, you hit your hamburger button, you can say select game hub, and it brings up kind of a profile page of the game where you can see leaderboards with friends, the different stats it collects, game clips from your friends or from you know, so-called community leaders or whoever's broadcasting it now, so you can watch that. Also, developers can publish to the activity feed of the game. And you can follow that so that it shows up on your activity feed. I did notice that they did that with Halo just recently to say, hey, we've got some updates on the next patch that's coming, and you can go check it out on the Waypoint website. So, you know, kind of nice. Be interesting to see what developers decide to do with that. Though, you know, I don't know. I could see a game like iDarb. It seems to get a lot of love from the publishers. Maybe they're tracking more, but since I'm not as interested in the game, I haven't decided to follow it, so I haven't opted into that. Halo I have, and they've only published one thing. So it's one of those things that if you're really into a game and the developer is really behind it, that could be a good thing. But if either one of those isn't true, chances are you're just going to not care and not see it. But yeah, maybe you don't care anyway, so either way, party chat has some updates. There's the little icon that shows up next to the people as they're connecting. It now shows a little clock when they're trying to connect. Once they are connected, it shows what they're called, like a squawker ring, which is basically you know the ring that flashes when you're talking, or an X if they are unable to connect to the party chat, but they're still in the game. The one boosting session I did do, I had seven other people, so party of eight. There was one guy who, he was having a lot of lagging problems, so it was probably his connection, but I noticed his icon in the chat was always the clock, so it was always theoretically trying to connect and never did, so kind of disappointing there, but you know, still it's probably his connection anyway. Improved connectivity, which they say it's supposed to be better with moderate or strict NATs, faster connections, and better retry logic. Again, your mileage may vary because this one guy I couldn't ever hear, but everybody else I could. It was kind of interesting because I was having some connection issues. We tried switching party leaders up to see if somebody would have better success, and somebody did. So it could have been partially my connection as well. But depending on who was hosting the party, I could hear some people better and more clearly than I could other times. So I'm not sure how that works out. One time it was the party leader I could barely hear. So it was kind of strange, but anyway, I don't know if how the better connection with moderate or strict NATs work. I did figure out how to get my NAT to be open, but it's still obnoxious that I have to do this. Is I go into the multiplayer, into networking and do the multiplayer network test and run it. And when it's done, it usually says it's all good. You hold down both triggers and bumpers and it does a, it gathers NAT info, which it's about 80% of the time on mine will switch it from strict to open and say, oh yeah, your NAT's open, you're fine. Sometimes I have to do it two, sometimes three times before it does that. And I don't understand why I have to go through that every single time I turn on the console when the 360, which is on the exact same network, it's plugged into the exact same switch, handles it just fine. So, hey, who's on the line?
Hey, buddy, it's Mossfly.
Hey, Mossfly, how you doing?
Good, except technology hates me today, so I'm running a little late, but I'm here. So.
Yeah, well, no worries. It took me a good 5 or 6 minutes after the show start time to get it started because Blog Talk Radio decided to wipe out my show schedule.
Awesome.
Yeah. So what you been playing, man?
I have been playing, actually, I got to one of my Christmas list episode or games. I got to play a little bit of the new Wolfenstein, the New Order.
And, interesting. How is that?
I've been fairly impressed. I think Bethesda did a very nice job. It's still very Wolfenstein-y. You know, just over the top, but it's not Duke Nukem Forever. It's done very well. It still feels like Wolfenstein, but it doesn't feel like Wolfenstein from the 90s. So that's good. Being that Return to Castle Wolfenstein was one of my go-to games in the early 2000s or whenever that one came out. I'm glad to see that it's back up to the form that Wolfenstein should be. So that
very
one's
cool.
Been pretty good. Also been playing a bit of Destiny. Finally completed a raid for the first time. Yay! That took me forever. But made it through it finally. So that's good. Yay, I know, right? Finally got a 30-point achievement that I should have got months ago. But
there you go.
Yeah, I think that's about it. I'd have to look at my achievement list to see what else is on there. But I'm, those two things have been exciting. Like I said, still was not sure what to expect from Wolfenstein, but I'm happy that I spent the $30 when it was on sale now. So.
There you go. And it only took you a month and a half to get to play it.
Right? I blame Dragon Age.
Yeah, that can be a time suck from what I've heard. So it's just talking a little bit. Just talking a little bit about the February system update, which everybody's getting now.
Yep.
And yep. One thing that I actually didn't notice right away, but I appreciate it now that I've seen it and that it's out there, is when you get a game or a party invitation and it pops up at the bottom, it tells you what it is and who sent it first, instead of, you know, party time or game time, and you have to wait for it to scroll through and say what it is it's inviting you to. It's mm-hmm. right there at the start, which I really appreciate, because it's nice to say, oh, he's inviting me to play Halo. Okay, I can accept it or not, or ignore it, and don't have to sit there and stare at it for 4 or 5 seconds before it scrolls through.
Yeah, the feature that I've really liked about the whole party thing is now when someone jumps into the party and their Xbox is screwed up, or they actually don't have a mic, which usually it's the Xbox is screwed up, but it actually puts the X next to their name instead of the circle.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the older one, it just left it kind of blank. But the X is more of just an indicator that, you know, something's up with their mic. They don't have it, or it's not plugged in, instead of it just being blank. That's a very minor thing, but I thought it was a nice feature. So,
yeah, it does make it much more clear when you're looking at it. It's like, oh, yep, they're having problems. Or you get the little clock. Yeah, okay, they're trying to connect, and maybe if I wait a minute, they'll be able to talk. Or not, as the case may be.
Yep. Did Transparency come out? No, that was last month, right?
I saw it on the list for this one. So I think Custom Backgrounds came out the one before, and then the Tile Transparency, this one. It's kind of nice. I mean, it's just a little thing. And depending on what tiles you have, not all of them go transparent anyway. But
mm-hmm.
I think it's a nice little visual touch, and yeah. Just adds a little bit extra to it.
It's very Windows phony in that way, where you got to kind of accept that not all your tiles are going to be transparent. So,
right.
I do like it. It gives you a little more view of the background. I know that was a big thing when the custom backgrounds actually came out. I kind of had to like pick something on the certain side of the screen so I could actually see the picture. I remember putting the day one achievement on there, and you could kind of see the Xbox logo on the one side, but the part that said day one was covered up by the main big tile on the Xbox. So it takes that annoyance down a little bit for me. So.
Yeah, it's still, you have, if you want to see something on the background, you got to pick something that has something across the top or bottom, because that middle, you just don't see it very much. Or just a picture that you already know what it is.
Yeah.
I have one of my classic pictures from Halo 3. It's a great shot. Has me in multiplayer with all five of the opposing team that are still alive shooting at me, all at the same time. So it's kind of one of those, yep, that's the way things go for me in the game. And so I know the picture well enough that I don't need to see it all the time, but it's still, yeah, it's still obscured quite a bit.
And once Halo 5 comes out, you can update that with the screenshot feature.
Yeah, I don't know how that's really going to work out. I mean, I get wanting to share screenshots, but taking one, I don't know how easy that's going to be, because, you know, you'd have to get something set up and hope that it doesn't move on you while you activate the screenshot feature. Either that or be able to pull a snapshot out of a video, maybe. I don't know.
So that's actually what I was hoping. I'm hoping that they update Upload Studio, and there's just a screenshot feature in that, so when you're scrolling through the 30-second clip, you can pause it right there and take that screenshot. I know that's not what was tweeted out, but I'm hoping that they figure out that that's probably a pretty good way to accomplish that too. I mean, it is one more step, but like you said, how likely are you actually going to be able to exactly double tap the guide button and hit Y before that event has disappeared off your screen? So.
Right. I mean, it's like, it's why for taking a video, it records the last 30 seconds, because by the time you realize you want to record it, it's happened.
Yep. And there's been a couple times, even with the 30 seconds, you barely get the last 5 seconds of the event.
Right.
Where you got that delay where you're like, oh man, I should have said Xbox record that. So I took a pause to see if my Xbox would actually do something, but it ignored me.
Yeah, and if you want to record more, there's Xbox Snap Game DVR, and then wait for it to load up. And maybe by the time it finishes loading up, you can get the last, you know, minute or two or five and still get it. But it takes a while for that app to snap back.
It does. And this is the one argument I've found for the achievements recording. For example, I hit like a really good streak on Forza Horizon. Popped a, I guess they're not achievements, but they're in-game events,
mm-hmm.
where it pops up that thing that says game clip recorded, and usually they're just really annoying. But it actually took that whole section of the start of that chain and followed me for the 2 minutes that I had that chain going and recorded the whole clip. So that's cool, as long as you don't get a game like Peggle that spams it like crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, that is kind of annoying. Oh, I actually played some Peggle today. That's also on my games list. I was homesick from work today, so in one of my less conscious modes, I needed to play something that was, you know, definitely not intense or stressful. And while Peggle can be stressful sometimes, it's definitely a lot easier to play when you're not feeling great than, say,
yes.
Halo or iDarb or anything else like that.
Yeah, my go-to not-feel-well games is usually some version of a Tall Tale game. Last bout of illness, it was actually Tales from the Borderlands. So, yeah, I totally understand the not-feel-well game of choice.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll even go with like Assassin's Creed because it's a little more involved, but it's definitely a lot easier to deal with than a shooter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's also a bunch of updates to the TV app in this update, but a lot of them. Well, okay, some of them don't apply here. They're for overseas, and I still don't know why they haven't sold a digital tuner in the U.S., because we do get digital broadcasts, but that's only over in Europe for now. But they've added the ability to see the video frames as you rewind or fast forward.
Nice.
And you can now stream TV from the digital tuner to a smart glass app on the Windows Phone or Android.
Yeah, that's a really, really cool feature. And the only reason I can come up with is the lawyers. We don't have that ability here. Somehow NBC said, no, you can't do that. CBS or one of those guys was at fault for that. At least that's what I'm going to say.
Yeah, I suppose it's possible, but I can't see what legal standing they'd have to say that because they're broadcasting it. But I don't know. Maybe they just don't think there's a market here. I don't know.
I don't know. Well, they did get Aereo, that little internet rebroadcaster, shut down. So I don't know.
Oh, yeah. That was an obnoxious deal, but... Gotta love our legal system and the way companies take advantage of it. So Evolve has come out. Did you decide to play it, pick it up, or no?
It came out, it would have been a good birthday present, but it came out and I just, like I said, I've got too many other games and I'm not convinced that it has the staying power that it needs. I mean, I was a huge fan of, Left 4 Dead.
Yeah.
I was a huge fan of that. But you know what? I couldn't do it. I couldn't bring myself to pick up Evolved yet. We'll see if that changes if the friends list starts populating with more of that. But.
I couldn't convince myself to get into it. And I don't know what the deal is now. I mean, this is the second game in recent memory, Titanfall being the other one, where it's pretty exclusive, single game type, multiplayer thing, no real single player campaign from what I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
But they're, charging a full price, $60 for it. And if you want to get any of the extra skins, they've got a ton of just cosmetic stuff. The website Polygon added it all up, and you could spend $130 on the DLC for this game, just getting skins for your characters.
Yeah, I did see that, and that's ridiculous. I mean, there have been plenty of games that have charged you that much, but usually you get a Spartan helmet or a remote control car, or you don't get digital skins. So
yeah,
I can't do that when I get something cool like a remote control car with C4 attached to it. I'm not going to be able to do that for skins. So
yeah, now to be fair, it's all cosmetics, so it's like, you could pick and choose which one you want and which one looks good and just get that. And you won't really be, out anything if you don't pick up a skin. It's just, how it looks. But still, I like when you could unlock the things in-game.
Yep.
Yeah, by playing more, you can get a new skin for your character or a new skin for the gun. Or, and even if that's just cosmetic, which I actually appreciate more, because it means, somebody who's played it a lot doesn't have an advantage of getting a super-powered weapon that you won't get unless you put 200 hours into it. But But still, it seems like they've taken that concept and said, well, let's make money on it instead.
So there is no actual way to grind to unlock any of these, then? I didn't look into that aspect of it.
Yeah, as far as I can tell, no. And, of course, there are the other things that you can buy into, the season pass thing, where they will release new hunter classes that you can play as. And they did say at least that the maps, they are going to release as free DLC. So,
okay.
So you won't have, some people not able to play with other people because they don't have certain maps. Everybody's going to get those, which is nice, and which I think is pretty smart, because, you don't split up your player base at all, and, everybody gets to play on new stuff and can help keep the game more interesting. But some of the things they've locked behind the paywalls, though, just seem annoying and just... It seems like pure money grabs, especially when you're looking at the pre-order bonuses and stuff that they were saying, a single monster is worth $15 or whatever ridiculous was.
Well, they got to pay for the free map somehow, right?
I guess.
Yeah, $15 for a monster is quite ridiculous, like they were saying earlier. But I don't know. Like I said, It looks like a fun game, but I don't know how long it would keep your attention. And $136 or whatever is not something I'm willing to spend. So.
Yeah. And it's definitely one of those games that you really need to play with other people, because I've done it you know, I played it in the beta on my own, and always ended up playing the monster, which, you know, is fine. But, you know, if I want to play the hunters, I just didn't ever get the chance because I was on my own and always popped me over on the monster side.
Yeah, well, at least if you're in a lobby where you don't know anybody and you don't know how the team's going to interact, at least if you're the monster, the only one you can blame is yourself. So, yeah, that I never actually got to play the monster in the alpha, beta, whatever. I was always on another team, and no one ever cooperated, so it was never really an enjoyable experience for me,
yeah.
Which is why it is not in my game library right now.
Yep. Yeah, which is kind of a shame, because I like the co-op things, but eh, whatever. I'll just stick to my Halo boosting sessions for my co-op picks.
There you go.
So one last little bit of news that I had was actually some good news. Is there's this thing that obnoxious little pricks like to do with called swatting, where if they're you know, playing against somebody that they are losing to and want to try to get back at, or just to be obnoxious, even if they're just not playing but watching Twitch streams, they seem to like to do this to people. Is they'll call up the local SWAT and use certain tricks to make it look like they're calling from that person's house or nearby, and get the SWAT teams to come in, and they'll, you know, come in with their, you know, fully armed gear and, you know, terrorize whoever they think is causing issues, but, you know, it's completely innocent people. This one guy who was doing this from Las Vegas has been caught and arrested, and is facing a maximum of a 5-year prison sentence, which personally I don't think is enough, because, you know, sending an armed team to somebody where, you know, somebody can die from things like that, and it's just not right.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good to see that somebody's going to have to pay for being obnoxious like that.
Yeah, that's a little crazy. And it's just, it's not fair to the police force, because they could be doing other better things with their time, right, than responding to bogus calls like that. So I agree with you. Not enough time, but...
Yeah. But that's pretty much it for what I had for this week, so...
Any new entertainment or tech toys talk about?
No, nothing this week. Still listening to the Magic 2.0 book, which sounds like it's about to get to the point where, you know, something interesting is going to happen. You know, it's been setting up the scene for a while. So, finally watched the rest of my Falling Skies Netflix disc, which I've been getting those episodes on disc. So trying to get caught up with those. I've actually had this disc in my house for about a month. Just haven't had time to watch it. But I finally watched it.
I haven't actually watched that since the end of season one. So I'm always behind. But you're thinking it's worth catching up on?
Oh, I think so. It's kind of neat. It's, you know, you're kind of classic alien apocalypse type of story, and you know, they're fighting back against the alien force, and but yeah, it's been entertaining. I haven't regretted the time I spent watching it, so that's good.
Nice. I've been catching up on Last Man Standing, which I'm loving that show.
What is that one about?
Last Man Standing is basically Home Improvement, except take out three boys, insert three girls, and take out a TV show and insert a webcast. So it's Tim Allen. He works at an outdoor shop and runs a website where he does blogs and just goes off on crazy rants. And like I said, there's three girls instead of three boys. But my favorite part of this show is he has such a wide acting career that they constantly work in other bits of things he's done before. Like, there's one episode where he signs off his blogcast with the ending or the tagline from Galaxy Quest. Jonathan Taylor Thomas shows up a few times and he's like, "You look really familiar. Do I know you from somewhere?" And stuff like that. It's just, it's a fun little show. I've been enjoying it. Finally caught up to the current one as of last week. So that's been my media consumption for the week. And then for tech toys, I actually just picked up a pair of Astro A40s, which is what I'm currently doing the cast with. So hopefully they sound good.
Yeah, not too bad. A little bit of static picking up there in the background, but actually doesn't sound too bad at all.
I'm going to blame my crappy audio card on that, but...
there you go.
Which I also learned the front ports are even worse than the back ports on my computer, because I plugged them in and they were buzzing, and I was like, these are like really expensive. Why are they buzzing? And then I actually took my Xbox headset and plugged that into place, and it was doing the same thing. And I knew that one worked. So got to be a little angry with the computer. But the backboard seemed to be okay.
Wonder if you have a loose cable running to your front panel or something inside.
Yeah, I'm going to blame Dell. So
there you go.
But yeah, they're fairly comfortable. A little bit tighter than the Xbox stereo headset. And I haven't tried them over the Xbox One chat yet, but we'll have to see how that works. I'm still using if you buy the Xbox One edition, Astro actually makes their own little receiver that pops into the bottom of the controller. I don't have that version, so I'm still using the standard Xbox One, the $25 one.
Right.
But we'll have to see how that works and how that sounds. So far, I'm liking them. They're pretty comfy.
Very cool. All right. Well, I think we're going to go ahead and wrap this one up then. So I'm glad you were able to get online and join me for tonight's show. I'm glad
I was able to
get online for tonight's show.
That's probably even more important.
Yeah. And I'll see if I can figure out why Blog Talk Radio seems to not want me to have a show anymore. Maybe it knows something that I don't. But yeah, so you can reach us on Facebook, facebook.com/geezercast, geezercast@geezergamers.com, or the forums on geezergamers.com, for Mossfly at Cybernight, the online.
Diamond.
to support your